If we really want to start bodybuilding God's way, we need to begin with some heavy lifting of God's Word. Here's Skip Heitzik to explain why.
Now, some people, when they think about that list that I just mentioned in Acts, the Apostles' Doctrine, Fellowship, Breaking Bread, Prayer, you think of all the things that aren't on there. Love isn't mentioned. Isn't that interesting? And Jesus said that's the mark of a true church, love. Here's the church of brotherly love. Yet it doesn't say they continued steadfastly in love, but in the Apostles' Doctrine first. Why? Because the Word teaches you how to love. The Word teaches you that the greatest demonstration of love is God sending His Son on the cross. The Bible teaches you to love one another and in what ways to love. The Bible teaches you what not to love. Love not the world nor the things that are in the world. So all of our cues in our behavior, even in our love, are found in the Word of God.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the Word of God and find the way into His love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time to read for our sins. Whoa.
Gold's Gym is probably one of the most recognizable names when it comes to exercise and fitness. Well, they recently released their very first video game on the Nintendo Wii, making it easy for you to enjoy Gold's Gym training in the comfort of your own living room. While the fitness game won't turn you into an Adonis or Greek goddess overnight, it is one way to get fit without having to actually go to Gold's Gym. People are always looking for easy ways to get physically fit. And today in The Connection, Skip Heitzik examines some ways for us to get spiritually fit. And before we begin, Skip has just one way for you to get spiritually fit while you enjoy the summer of love. Interested? Well, here are all the details.
Relationships are unavoidable. They're truly the irreducible minimum of life. From the moment we're born, we're entangled with relationships. However, this web often becomes confusing.
We have a culture that is constantly telling us, do what you feel, man. Go by instinct. Do what's in your heart. Boy, that's the most dangerous philosophy on earth.
This summer, Skip Heitzik is re-releasing his book on relationships with a new title, Beyond the Summer of Love. Discover how the principles God provides us in the Bible for our relationships can help us not only enjoy a summer of love, but a lifetime of love. Order your copy of Beyond the Summer of Love by Skip Heitzik for just $15 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. Since we can't avoid being entangled in relationships, why not learn how to make them work? Order Beyond the Summer of Love for just $15 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or look for it on the Connections website at connectionradio.org.
And you can find out more about ordering this book by Skip Heitzik on relationships by calling 1-800-922-1888 or by writing us at The Connection, P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. You probably never would have imagined that video games would one day become a part of actually staying healthy. Well, unfortunately, some Christians don't even think of any ways to keep themselves spiritually healthy. Hopefully that will change after today's study right here in The Connection.
And make the connection.
Open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 3, and let's join Skip Heitzik for today's study.
The Word of God is so much like that. It hits us exactly in the area that motivates us, or challenges us, or will change us. And if ever there is a time when the church needs to keep the Word of God, to guard the message, this time is now. Because, as history is moving on, more and more churches are becoming, to accommodate the system of the world, they're becoming very long on philosophy, very long on psychology, very long on social action, very short, very dim, very weak on truth, very weak in theology. Guard the message. Paul said to young Timothy, that was back then, preach the word, man. Be instant in season and out of season. For the time is coming, said Paul, when people will no longer endure sound doctrine. Preach the word. So the early church continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And here's a church that modeled that. Now, some people, when they think about that list that I just mentioned in Acts, the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking bread, prayer, you think of all the things that aren't on there. Love isn't mentioned. Isn't that interesting? And Jesus said that's the mark of a true church, love. Here's the church of brotherly love. Yet it doesn't say they continued steadfastly in love, but in the apostles' doctrine first. Why? Because the word teaches you how to love. The word teaches you that the greatest demonstration of love is God sending his son on the cross. The Bible teaches you to love one another and in what ways to love. The Bible teaches you what not to love. Love not the world nor the things that are in the world. So all of our cues in our behavior, even in our love, are found in the Word of God. So Jesus commends them as a church under authority, a church that is coming back to life. They're weak, but they're trusting his strength, and they're a church of the Word. There's another mark of their revival. It's because they are a loyal church. Jesus said, "You have not denied my name." Verse 9, "Indeed, I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews and are not, but lie, indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you, because you have kept my command to persevere. I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth." Here's a church that was loyal. They held fast to the name of Jesus Christ. He gave a command to persevere. They kept the perseverance all the way to the end until the time Jesus writes this letter. And I believe that there is a definite temptation today, a definite temptation to deny the Lord. As even many believers start questioning, is it worth it? It gets difficult living this Christian life. I am challenged all day long. People ask me questions about other things. I can't answer them, and it's tough with all of the opposition that I get. In fact, Jesus even asked, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? A very searching question. Well, the church at Philadelphia endured opposition. What kind of opposition? Well, verse 9 would indicate that there were a number of people in the Jewish community who were persecuting the Christians in their community. And perhaps it was simply that they were Jewish people who converted to love Jesus as their Messiah, and they were kicked out of the synagogue. And there's the temptation now, hey, don't be so vocal. Don't be so verbal about your faith. Remember, religion and politics, you be quiet about those things. Don't rock the boat. But the Christians at Philadelphia would not buy into that philosophy. They did not stop speaking. They continued to share. They didn't soften the message. They were loyal. They were loyal. Loyalty, as I see it, separates the mature from the immature. Separates the true professional who goes on to victory from the amateur. One example of loyalty, perseverance, that we have seen this week is in the Olympics. You've all seen, if you've read the newspapers or watched any television at all, about 18-year-old Carrie Strug, who went on by her perseverance to win the team gold medal for the women's gymnastics. She had already an injured ankle. She landed on it wrong, and the ankle was taped up. It was her turn to vault again, even with a weak ankle. Her coach said, "We needed at least a 9.6 for the dream to come true for everybody. And so I asked her, we need one more vault. Can you give me one more vault?" He said, Carrie looked at the coach and said, "Yes, I can." The coach said, as she headed down the runway, she kept shaking that ankle, saying, "I will, I will, I will." And she did. Oh, we need that kind of loyalty and perseverance in God's kingdom. We've all known many Christians who begin with a bang and end with a whimper, right? They think Christianity is a 50-yard dash. I ran a few laps. But did you finish the race? as Paul said. Make it all the way through to the very end. Thirdly, this is a church of opportunity. Jesus introduces himself as the one who opens a door and no one shuts and no one opens. In verse 8, I know your works, and see, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. Now, what does that mean, an open door? Now, we could make several guesses, and probably all of them are correct, but I think one of them is most accurate. First of all, it could be the door of salvation. Jesus said, I am the door. Whoever enters by me shall be saved, John chapter 10. He said on the Sermon on the Mount, enter the narrow gate, for wide is the path that leads to destruction. And many people go that way, but very narrow, constricted is the door or the gate that leads to eternal life. Go in that gate. Today, God has opened up a door of salvation to us that anybody can come. One day that door will be closed and will be locked and there will be no more chances. But now the door is open wide. Have you walked through that door? Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone will open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. Have you done that? That's the door of salvation. Number two, we could be talking about the door of safety. Safety from the judgment, the tribulation that would come upon the earth. And certainly that's true as well. Verse 10. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who are on the earth. It implies that when he judges in tribulation the earth, that the Philadelphia-like church will be removed before that time. They won't undergo it. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. It says, after these things, I looked, and a door was standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Now, we know what happens. Immediately, John is snatched up into heaven, and he speaks about the judgment, but he sees it from a bird's eye view, from heaven. The church is mentioned 19 times in chapters 1 to 3. Beginning in chapter 4, it is never mentioned once in the entire book. It's conspicuously absent when that judgment begins. So he could be speaking about the fact that the door of safety for this church, as they would be caught up before the tribulation. So here we have a church that is loyal, standing up strong, a weak but trusting in Jesus' strength and waiting for the coming until the Lord removes them from the earth. There's an old Southern preacher who used to pray this prayer. It's time for our church to wake up and to sing up, to preach up, to pray up, and never give up or let up or back up or shut up until the church is filled up or we go up. Amen. Great stuff. Thirdly, and probably this is exactly what it means, I believe it's the door of opportunity, the door of service. Look, I have set before you an open door. And so often in the New Testament, a door is something you go in as an opportunity to serve God. Paul writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and says, I will come to you after I go through Macedonia, for a great and an effective door has been opened. And there are many adversaries. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, he writes and he says, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, a door was opened to me by the Lord. And then to the Colossians in chapter 4, verse 3, meanwhile, pray for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains. I think he's speaking of a door of opportunity. And certainly Philadelphia was so located strategically on the plain of southern or midpoint of Turkey that it could reach out to so many of the other cities. The roads where the great Roman armies marched through came through that town. The merchant roads came through that town. Looking out from Philadelphia, you could see the kingdom of Lydia and Mysia and Pergia. They could have people passing tracts out on the road, having Christian concerts on the roads. Who knows? They had a great opportunity. Now we have a great opportunity. God has opened for us a door of service that no one can shut. The problem is we don't always look for them. We're praying, God, open a door. And there's an open one right here. All around us. Opportunities to share Christ with unbelievers in our neighborhood, in our work, in our family, in our community. A young man went up to Charles Spurgeon, the great Victorian preacher in London, and he said, Mr. Spurgeon, God has put it in my heart to win souls for Christ. What should I do about that call? Spurgeon said, what do you do for a living? He said, I drive an engine. I'm an engineer for the railroad. Spurgeon said, well, surely you have a fireman. Is he saved? He said, I don't know. He said, go find out. Begin with the fireman and find out if he is saved and start with him. We have those kinds of doors all around us, don't we? Opportunities all around us. Some of you are musicians, writers, mechanics, engineers, teachers, housewives. All of us have those open doors. Even Olympic athletes have those open doors. I was so elated to find out that there were many of our athletes at the Olympics who were not there just to get a gold medal, but to win people for Christ. David Robinson from the U.S. men's basketball team, this is his third trip to the Olympics, said, this is a great opportunity for me to model Jesus Christ in front of a lot of people. What an attitude. Tara Cross from the U.S. women's volleyball gave her life to Jesus in 1990. She said, in the past few months, I've been getting all of this recognition, and I'm struggling to keep it in perspective, not letting it go to my head. I'm reminding myself that I'm not playing for fame, but for Him. And I know that He'll take care of the rest. What an attitude. That is seeing an open door. So let's sum it up so far. It's a church under authority of the authentic sovereign Jesus Christ. It is a church in revival. They are weakened but coming back to life because they have the Word of God and because they are loyal to His name and persevering. It's a church that is walking through doors of opportunity. They are not stagnant. Finally, it's a church with a future. There's a few promises that are given. Verse 9, Jesus says, your enemies will be humbled, which is a great twist of fate as they're being persecuted. Jesus said they will be humbled. In verse 10, you will be kept from the tribulation. And finally, in verse 12, the promise is, I will make him a pillar in the house of my God, and they shall go out no more. What is he talking about? Well, a pillar was used to strengthen a building. It was the roof was set upon the pillar. It was a symbol of strength and security. Also, pillars were often erected by ancient cities to honor famous people. Kings, dignitaries. They would build this pillar. They would write the name of the city. They would write the name of the dignitary as if to say, we acknowledge you and we honor you. Then Jesus said, they shall go out no more. Remember, Philadelphia was the city of earthquakes. And every time an earthquake happened, they would go out of the city. They were so insecure. They were wondering, when's the next big one going to hit? And so Jesus is saying, I will strengthen you, I will honor you, and I will be your security. You won't have to go out anymore. And I, the God who is true, will honor you by erecting a pillar in your name. Isn't that a beautiful promise? I will strengthen you. Sometimes people will hear a message that I preach or attend a meeting, and they will say something like, well, you speak with confidence and authority. And I have to remind them, you don't know, you don't see the insecurities behind it all. I am a weak man. And if there's any strength or authority at all, it's because as a weak person, hopefully reviving, there's great strength in Jesus Christ. And He is able to take those who say, I'm so weak, and those who are faint and make them a pillar. He's able to do that with you. He's able to give you confidence and have you walk in strength as well. So that's the Church of Philadelphia. Perfect church? Nah. A prominent church? You bet. An awesome church? Great place to fellowship. Filled with weak people, but they had the promise of the strength of God, and they walked through doors of opportunity. That's what I want to leave you with today, is that you'd start looking around for doors. There's doors all around you that God has opened. Doors in the community, doors in your fellowship. I want to conclude by reading a couple paragraphs written by a pastor a few years back. He said, "I was in the supermarket one day and a lady came down the aisle whom I could barely see over the top of her groceries. I got somewhat frightened because she seemed to be heading straight at me. She screeched to a halt within a few feet of me, peered over her load, wagged her finger at me and said, 'I left your church. I left your church.' So I said, 'Well, if it's my church, I think it was a very wise decision. If it's my church, I think I'm going to leave too.' She said, 'Don't you want to know why I left?' I said, 'No, not particularly, but I think I'm going to find out.' And I was right. She said, 'You weren't meeting my needs.' I answered, 'Well, I don't ever recollect seeing you before, let alone talking to you, let alone even knowing your needs. Did you ever tell anyone specifically what your needs were?' She couldn't recall that she had, so I raised another question. 'Could you please tell me, if we have 5,000 people sitting in that church, all with your attitude, how are needs ever going to be met? If you reserve the right to have that attitude, then you must give everybody the freedom to have that attitude. And if everybody had that attitude, who on earth is going to do all the need meeting?' Standing her ground, she demanded, 'Then you tell me who will.' Relieved, I said, 'I thought you'd never ask.' 'This is what will work. When people stop sitting in the pew and saying they're not meeting my needs and start saying, whose needs can I meet? Then needs will be met. And when the servant spirit flourishes in a congregation, then they minister to each other as unto the Lord.'" The Church of Philadelphia walked through all of the doors of opportunity to bless others. Let's do that.
You know, when we really grasp the fact that God will take care of our needs, we're free to start meeting the needs of others. When we start meeting the needs of others, well, then we'll just discover how strong, compassionate, and loving the body of Christ can really be. And as we close with that thought, one way you can start meeting the needs of others is by telling them about their need for Christ. In fact, as a member of the Global Connectors, you can help us do that all over the world. Here's more about Global Connectors.
The word missionaries usually brings to mind images of mysterious jungles and isolated native tribes. We don't often visualize our neighbors as a potential mission field or thinking of them as a missionary task. Yet our neighbors often need to hear the gospel just as much as jungle tribes. The same is true of America. The neighbors of our nation need to hear the gospel just as much as any distant land. Canada is a close neighbor that's also a ripe missions field. When you join the Global Connectors, you help us reach out to our neighbors with the good news of Jesus Christ. Call 1-800-922-1888. And for just $25 a month, you can help efforts all throughout Canada to share the good news of the gospel and to reach people with solid biblical teaching. Plus, as a member of the Global Connectors, you'll have access to a new downloadable resource each month. This month, you can download a teaching from Sebastian Frappier from Calvary Chapel, Montreal.
Abundant blessing, abundant pain, it brings the same thing, abundant faith. If you're suffering abundantly, faith will result to that. If you're abundantly blessed, faith will result from that. Wow, God is taking care of me.
Join the Global Connectors and help us reach our neighbors to the north with the love of Jesus Christ. Sign up today when you call 1-800-922-1888 or visit us online at connectionradio.org.
And when you get in touch with us about joining the Global Connectors, be sure to ask for a copy of today's message, Bodybuilding God's Way. We'll send you a copy for just $6, which includes shipping, when you call us at 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. Anything you share above that suggested donation will help us continue these daily teachings. So if you can share just a little extra, know that it will not only bless us, but many others who hear this program all around the world. Give us a call today, 1-800-922-1888, or write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And make the connection.
So where exactly are you spiritually? Are you healthy or a little ill? We'll figure out how to determine that in our next study on The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.